Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
Galatians chapter 2. We're going to be in verses 11 through 21. What's up, John? You know, I spent this weekend reuniting with people I didn't like. Because that's what you call your 20th high school reunion. I was there. I didn't really like a lot of people in high school. And it's mostly because when I was only there my senior year, and it's kind of like Zilla. It's a very close-knit community, Sela is. And so if you're kind of an outsider coming in, you don't always get like that the hugs and kisses that you would normally get at big schools. And so there was three kids that we hung out together, me and Bob and Derek, and none of the other two were there. So I tried to find the two other people I knew, and of those people, one of them showed up. And so I talked to him for a little while, and after 15 minutes of talking to him, I really didn't have a lot to say, so my wife and I went to a movie. But then yesterday there was a barbecue, and I thought to myself, what a perfect opportunity to socialize and get together with people and reconnect. It wasn't though. It was exactly like it was the day before, but outside. I don't know if that makes sense. Actually, the funniest part about yesterday was that I didn't recognize anybody. Someone brought out a yearbook, and they were like showing all the faces and the peoples. And how many of you guys have gone to these things? Okay. So not even all of you guys. So apparently some of you guys who haven't gone before should have said, yeah, no. But because of all the invitations and everything like that, and you know, I didn't even, the one person who was like, you should come, it'd be a lot of fun, they weren't even there. Right? Right? They're like, oh, it's going to be so much fun. We're going to hang out. Dude, she wasn't even there. You know, she was like a good buddy of mine in high school, I thought, you know, didn't even show. And then a couple other buddies of mine, they were different. One of them got shorter and rounder than I remember. And then this other guy, John Boy, you're a big old specimen of young kid, right? Okay, he didn't look like you in high school. He looked. Pardon me for saying this, but Rebecca, you're kind of a smaller person. Okay, he looked like you in high school. Real tiny, sprite-like figure. No, it's all good. It's all good. I can handle this stuff. It'll get worse. But when we went to the reunion yesterday, I didn't recognize him. And I walked up, and I'm shaking hands, and I'm like, "Hi, Billy Van Kamsey. It's good to meet you." oh yeah, it's James. Oh, cool. And then this one guy, he was like as tall as Rick Schneider, built like this. And he had a voice that was like this. And I looked at him and I was like, whose husband are you? He goes, my name is so-and-so. I'm not going to say his name. Not that he's ever going to see this. But the point is that I'm not going to say it. But he's like, my name's so-and-so. And I was like, my goodness, I remember your name from high school, but you looked like this. He says, I grew. Yes, you did. There's not much you can say to that. Yeah, somebody got their Flintstones. But the thing is that he wasn't exactly what he was in high school, right? And apparently neither was I, because a lot of people didn't recognize me. Apparently I was skinny in high school. I got allergic to life, and so I fluffed up a little bit. It's an allergic reaction, and as soon as I find the medication, I'll go back to my former self. But the thing is that I realized that not everybody there is the same person that they were back then. The people that you thought were going to be this person, you know, when you are in life, you have a tendency to peg people. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, I look at people and I say, well, that person enjoys this. I didn't talk to them. I didn't talk to their friends or their family. I just looked at them and I said, you must be into this kind of thing, okay? You know, I look at Randy and I think Randy is into motorcycles and biker gangs and all that kind of stuff because he shaves his head bald and he's got a mustache, you know, and it's really cool. But apparently he likes golf. So you can be wrong from now on then, okay? Every once in a while you can be wrong. But the point is that I was wrong in a lot of areas. And I thoroughly enjoyed, actually, to be honest, I enjoyed hanging out with people that I haven't seen in a long time. And all five of the people that I actually liked in high school, of those five people, four of them were there, and it was a lot of fun. So that being said, I was just kind of joking about the first part. But what I'm not joking about is in high school, we did a play. I was actually in drama, Allegra, which it's hard to imagine. Because I'm not real good with lines, you know. And we did a thing for kids theater. We go around to all the elementary schools.
Oh, yeah.
We set up our stage, and we put on a play called Alice in Wonderland. And I was the caterpillar. And I had this green suit. And it had these big old styrofoam balls going out like this. And everywhere I turned, I would hit stuff like this. And it was really cool. And the only line I remember out of all of this stuff is I would go like this. When Alice walked up, I would go, "Who are you?" That's the only one I would get, right? And we did this play in like 15 schools. We went to West Valley. We went to two different Sela schools. We went all over the place, took this act on the road. And the thing is that every play, the girls would look at me like, they would tell me my line as I was doing them. It was actually very well done on their part, because I assume this isn't easy, because I would say, "Who are you?" And then they would go, "Da, da, 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 da," and then they would say my line underneath their breath. And I would have to say my line, and it was always like this awkward pause. And the thing is that it was horrible, but I remembered the question, "Who are you?" yesterday as I was talking, and one of the girls was like, "You remember that play we did?" And all I said to her was, "Who are you?" And she goes, "Oh, you remember." And it was a little embarrassing because apparently I was that tragic. Just remembering those three words impressed this person so much. But I had already been thinking about this sermon and this time before I remembered my famous three words. Who are you? For some reason, I had kind of been semi-drawn to this section in Galatians. And I know that, like, in youth group, I've preached this, out of this section before. But the more that I looked at it, the more I realized, man, this is so cool. Because just as I've been praying and my wife has been praying, you know, we kind of feel like the Lord is telling us, you know, he wants us to do this, he wants us to do that, and it's kind of, in some ways, you know, a little bit of shift in mentality. And I have to think, who am I? You know, am I this guy or am I this guy? You know, I some of the things that the Lord has asked me to do over the years, I haven't always been comfortable with. You know, when the Lord asks you to be an evangelist and you're not really a social person, and believe it or not, I'm not really one of those social butterfly kind of persons. I don't like going and hanging out with these people. I wasn't really all that fond of it, because if I didn't see the two people I knew, I was going to bail. Because I didn't want to meet those guys. And I was that way even in high school. And so when the Lord called me to do an evangelism class, I did it, and the book learning part of it was super easy. The part that killed me was when we actually had to go out and talk to people. That was so uncomfortable. When the first time that I had to preach in front of adults, it scared the fire out of me. Because all I knew how to talk about was, you know, picking noses and kicking rocks. I mean, things that teenagers like to do. I know you guys don't, but I got to make it relative to everybody else, okay? All right, everybody has to understand this. All right, so the point is that the Lord's asked me to do things that I wasn't real comfortable with. And from time to time, I've had to say to myself, who am I? And sometimes you have to stretch yourself. Sometimes you have to change yourself and kind of change in ministry and evolve in ministry. But one thing I think that doesn't change is who you are as a person, who you are in your personality. And when I read this section right here, and you look at the people involved, you see that they're trying to play on the same team. You see that they're trying to work on the same team. But the fact is that Paul and Peter are two different people. Paul and Peter have two different personalities. Paul and Peter have two different mindsets. Paul could not have been better suited to do what he did. Paul was an evangelist. Paul was intense. You look at everything that Paul did, everything that Paul said, it was intensity embodied. If he went to Ephesus and he saw that they were worshiping some statues that didn't need to be worshipped, what did he do? He kicked over stands, he robbed, he threw things out, he prayed, he cast out demons. He was offensive and sometimes offensive. And I want us all to understand this before we talk about Peter, because Paul was in ministry and Paul was doing ministry and Paul was intense. And you know what? I don't think that he was wrong in his intent. But there were times where he might have been wrong with his delivery, his personality, his approach. If you notice, Paul went through a couple of assistants. Right?
Yes, sir.
You know, he didn't get along well with the people in Jerusalem. He was more of a guy who was suited as like an outside salesman. Does that make sense? He's not a warehouse worker. He's more of an outside sales guy. Does a great job. Sells a lot of products. But don't ask him to come into the warehouse, because he's not going to get along with the forklift driver. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay? Because he's the kind of guy that he's going to stand up. He's going to tell you how awesome Jesus is. And he's going to expect you to make a decision based on the information that he gave you. And that decision is you should probably buy the product. He was an outside sales guy. But if you ask him to move a pallet of product back in Jerusalem, he's probably not going to be happy about it. He was okay with putting the product into action in the field. He was okay with making tents in the field. I'm not saying that he was afraid of hard work. But making tents isn't something where you got 15 guys around you and you're sitting there having to talk to each other, is it? You can put in your iPod and you can start getting the needle and the thread and start sewing, correct? Okay, my point is that Paul was the most dynamic figure other than Jesus in the New Testament. The most effective figure other than Jesus in the New Testament. But Paul wasn't always right in how he dealt with others. Peter, little different dude. All right, Peter was a fisherman. Hung out with fishermen. Did fisherman things. I don't know what they did back then. You know, I assume he had his boat license. You know, I assume that he had some really awesome nets. And when it came to sailing and stuff like that, he could take you on a cruise and it would be a lot of fun. He could show you all the sights of the Dead Sea and it would be a lot of fun. But he was a fisherman. He wasn't college educated, was he? He was a guy that came off the streets, found Jesus, and learned how to walk like Jesus and talk like Jesus. But I think in his heart, he was still a fisherman. He was a hardworking guy. I think that he was also kind of a pleaser. He wanted to tell the people around him sometimes what they wanted to hear and act how they wanted him to like. You remember he followed the crowd there, following Jesus, and you know the swell of the crowd is that we're going to crucify this guy. So he wanted to blend. He didn't want to offend. He didn't want to take any offense. He just decided, I'm going to blend. I'm going to go with this right now. In this section that we're talking about right here, you'll see that he kind of flip-flops a little bit. He's kind of a pleaser. Does it make him wrong in which direction he flip-flopped? Not really. But the fact is that he changed his direction. He was kind of a pleaser. Was he a powerful person? Absolutely. Peter was powerful in everything that he did. Peter was a leader in what he did. It's just sometimes as a leader, I think sometimes I kind of act like that too. You know, I mean, if people don't want to come out to my house on Saturday, we'll make it Sunday because people can't make it Saturday, okay? Now some people can't make it Sunday, and now I'm thinking to myself, oh, what should I do? I should have just done what I wanted to do in the first place and told the people who can't make it, just too bad. Yeah. But I'm a pleaser. I want people to be happy. I want people to feel warm and fuzzy about who they are in Jesus and in life. It's not always fun. People want to hang out with you, sure, because you're going to make them feel great. Right, Ryan?
Sure.
Yeah, why not? But the fact is that it's not always effective.
That's right.
Okay? I want you guys to see these two personalities because they're going to come into play right here. And what's crazy is that I've noticed this from time to time. I've read this story lots of times, but there's a couple things that I didn't notice until I started reading it around this week when I was thinking about this. Paul was a Pharisee. He was a convert. Even as a Pharisee, he was the most intense Pharisee that Pharisees can Pharisee. He was a convert. He got knocked off his high horse, blinded by the Lord, taken the shackles off, can see from the Lord, but he was still a Jew. Then he became a Christian, but then he became an apostle. He led hundreds of thousands and who knows, millions, if you count all the way to this day, hundreds of millions of people to Christ. And he was also a martyr. Peter was a fisherman. He was a disciple. He walked with the Lord, talked with the Lord, shook the Lord's hand, held the Lord's robes, whatever. I don't know about that part. He was also a betrayer. He was also redeemed. He became an apostle. He became a martyr. A lot of the things these guys share, a lot of these things, these guys are different. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him face to face. Only Paul, by the way, is going to say, I stood up to Peter. Now you got to admit, Paul's probably like about 4'2". Okay, with that personality that Paul has, he can't be tall. I don't know if anybody knows what I'm thinking, but I'm thinking this right, okay? All right, but you see, Marlene, you know where I'm going with this, okay? Paul could not have been tall. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Paul was an in-your-face kind of guy. He was kind of the guy who, when he saw silver flowing down the road that didn't need to flow down the road, he kicked the silver over, okay? Paul was intense. You know who's really not all that intense? Tall guys. Rule of thumb. You look at it right down the line, okay? Tall guys, laid back, pretty comfortable. I'm just going to chill. Little guys, little man syndrome. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? All right? All right? Paul's walking around. He's like, hey, what are you guys doing over there? We're going to go. That's Paul. Okay? When Paul says that he withstood Peter face to face, the conversation was like this. Hey, Peter, listen right here. This is what we're going to do. Okay? That's how the conversation went. I guarantee you. Okay? When we get to heaven and Paul's 7 feet tall, I was wrong. But as of right now, I'm correct. Go with me on this, okay? Peter was a big dude, okay? We actually have this from scriptural reference, okay? He was a big guy. He stood tall. He was a man among men, much like myself. I could be wrong, but I think I'm pretty tall for a Jewish guy. That's the way it works on Seinfeld. All right. But he withstood him to his face. There's only a few people in this spiritual world who would be willing to do this. Paul was willing to do this because he was to be blamed for certain men came from James. He would eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. Generally speaking, in the church world, we say, oh, you probably shouldn't have done that. You made a bad decision. What's Paul say? You're a hypocrite. Yeah. The delivery's a little different. Okay? I might have softened it up a little bit. I might have said, Ryan, you probably shouldn't have done that, babe. Let's pray, let's ask for some forgiveness, and let's move on. Paul says, Ryan, you're a hypocrite. I can't believe you do that. The delivery is a little bit different, right? Not only that, but Ryan, look what you did. Now you're leading away Barnabas and all the other guys. You see, when the Jews came, the Jews in question, they were Jews that believed that you were not truly a Christian, you are not truly converted unless you were surgically altered. You see, you had to have some mark in your flesh. You had to have some identification upon your body to say that you truly love Jesus. Nowadays, it's called a cross tattoo, I think. Apparently, you can't be a 20-year-old Christian without some type of tattoo on your arm that says that you love Jesus. I could be wrong. I'm sorry. Marcus, do you have a tattoo yet? You're thinking about it, though, aren't you? You are. I can tell. I can tell. Oh. Look at you. You are. You got the earrings. Next, it's a tattoo. Pretty soon, it's going to be like a cross right there, isn't it? You don't want a cross? What are you going to get? Okay. So you're going to go a little bit off the reservation on this one, but you're still getting one. Does it have anything to do with Jesus? You see, in these days, these guys, when they were sent from Jerusalem, they were kind of like the morality police. Their job was to make sure that everything was ship-shape. Their job was to make sure that we're all following the rules. Paul's job was to make sure people got in the door, right? Paul's job was to make sure that people came in and saw Jesus. Not that they saw the rules, because if you read a little bit further, you'll see, and we're going to do that, but you'll see that he said, it's not about the law anymore, guys. It's about the freedom and the faith and the trust and the love that we receive from Jesus Christ. That's what changes my life. It's not the fact that I get cut. It's not the fact that I get some type of mark on my body that says how much I love Jesus. It's a fact that I have a faith and a relationship and a belief and a trust and a hope and a new life in Christ. That's what it's all about. And so one night around dinner, Peter's hanging around with them. And you know Peter, he's a cool guy to hang out with at dinner. Everybody wants to sit near Peter because he's telling stories. One day I was with Jesus. And everybody wants to hang around and talk to him like that, right? But then all of a sudden, a bunch of Jewish guys walk in the door. Now, you know these guys didn't just walk in the door. You know what I'm saying? They had the authority of the church with them. They had the authority of James and the other Jewish people with them. You might not know what I'm talking about, but I've been to ministers' meetings before. I've been there. I've seen it. You got your regular people there. You got your people there, John. Okay? You got your people there, and we're just here to worship the Lord, babe. Okay? You know, maybe I'm talking to my buddy. Maybe it's not my favorite song, so I'm saying, hey, Tony, what's going on, babe? How you doing, man? I haven't seen you since last year. Oh, pretty good, pretty good. And all of a sudden, there's a suit that walks behind us, and you can just feel the presence. It's like the Nazgul. Maybe not. Maybe not that far. Maybe not that far. If you're a Lord of the Rings fan, then that's cool. Jubal's in the back going, yeah, Lord of the Rings. All right. All right. But it's like you can feel the presence of this church guy walking over. And that's how these guys entered the room. These guys made their presence known by the authority that they carried. You know what? When people walk into this church, okay? I know when the bishop is here. Huh? I know when the bishop's here. First of all, he's wearing a suit and tie. Nobody in their right mind wears that. Second of all, he'll kind of stand there and he'll start shaking people's hands. How you doing? How you doing, brother? Brother, how you doing? 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 Okay? He didn't ask anybody's names. He's just shaking hands to let you know that he's there. You guys know what I'm talking about? Dave, you've been in church a long time. You know what I'm talking about, right? It's the suits that come in out of nowhere that want you to let you know that they know that you're there, that you know that they're there, but they don't really want to do much. They just want to make sure that you know that they're there because they got the authority. Is that right? Right. It's not a pretty thing, is it? I know. I actually preached a sermon similar to this when the youth director was here one night. And he actually he wasn't real happy with me, per se, but he got my point. But the suits walked in. And Peter went from being the guy around the table that everybody was talking to, maybe even eating a pork kebab, you know, possibly some shellfish. You know, he was out there by the barbecue popping oysters. Ah, give me some more tapatio. All right. He was that guy. All of a sudden, the suits and the robes walk in. Okay? And these guys' robes were sweet. They were dyed a little bit different color, a little more pressed, you know. They looked good. You knew who they were. And so when Peter saw them, Peter went like this. Wiped the sweet baby Ray's off his lips. And he walked over and he shook hands with them, and all of a sudden it's the Peter voice. Bless you, brother. Bless you, brother. Bless you, brother. And he became a Jew again. And as soon as other people saw him do this, everybody went over and followed him. Guys, who are Peter and Paul? They're two different guys. They both did amazing and awesome things. Were they always right? No. Sometimes they did things the wrong way. Sometimes they lacked the approach to be able to deal with other people the right way. But the fact of the matter is that they were effective. Maybe Peter reached this side of the room. Maybe Paul reached this side of the room. They were both effective. They both had a style that worked for them. They both had a ministry that nobody could argue with. But the fact of the matter is that every once in a while they made mistakes. Every once in a while, we make mistakes. Every once in a while, we choose the wrong time to step in and share the gospel with someone. Maybe they weren't ready to hear it. I've done that before. I thought this was the right time for me to be able to tell you how much Jesus loves you. And I've had doors shut in my face. I've had people tell me to get away. I've had people tell me that I'm just like all the other church people, which is so far from the truth. Yeah. Oh, you missed that one. But the fact is that they both were effective. They both served the Lord and did miraculous things. There is no right or wrong answer in who they were. As Christians, we need to understand who we are, first of all, so that we can be as effective. We can't be effective without knowing that we have some particular calling, have some particular mission, have some particular purpose for being here. I don't think that God chose any one of us just to occupy. And I use that word totally on purpose. We went to Bellingham and we saw the people that occupied Bellingham. You guys all know what I'm talking about? The Occupy Wall Street. The Occupy, which I don't know why you would occupy Bellingham. There's really not a lot of harm coming out of Bellingham from the corporate world. But, you know, it's cool. It's a nice place. They had a nice park until those guys showed up. For occupiers and agents of change and people who are going to do something good for the world, they left a lot of stuff to clean up. In other words, the people that just occupied made more work for the people who were going to do something. Yeah. You with me? Yes, sir. Y'all with me? Because when you just occupy, when you're just there, someone's got to do the job that God called you to do.
That's right.
Someone's got to step into your shoes and do the thing, and that's double work for them. Now, if people don't want to do double work, what happens? Nobody does that job that you've been called to do. Those people that were occupiers, the idea sounded great. We're going to fight the power, okay? That sounds awesome. I grew up in the 80s, okay? It was really cool back in the 80s. Not really. I mean, I don't remember anything. But the point is that I do remember that there were certain groups that were like, you know, hey, we're going to make a change. You know, fight the power. I listened to a lot of rap music back in the 80s, okay? It was cool, all right? Wasn't it cool? Yeah, Public Enemy. That's exactly what I'm thinking of, okay? You know, I dropped that one time. I was like, fight the power. And I even went through a little bit of the song, you know what I'm saying? And nobody got me. I was like, what? Are you kidding me? Nobody? Not even Ben in the back? Nothing? All right. Occupy people do nothing but take up space. Occupy people do nothing but make a mess for someone else to clean up. But Paul and Peter, they got out there, they did stuff, didn't they? Paul and Peter got out there. Now, I don't think I'm created to be a Paul or Peter, but I don't mind being a Timothy. I don't mind being a Barnabas. I don't mind being the guy that says, okay, Pastor, what do we got to do? And Pastor says, we're going to go out there, we're going to take the world, you know, and I'm like, woo! Let's go. I almost said I'm right behind you, and I know exactly what some of you guys would have said. It's like, how far? That's cool. But seriously, you know, I don't know if I'm cut out to be a Paul or Peter, but I don't mind being a Timothy or a Barnabas, right? I don't mind being a guy that's going to be, you know, maybe a few steps behind, but I'm there to support. I'm there to, you know, and maybe when the Lord calls me to be a Paul or Barnabas, or Paul or Peter, maybe I can be that guy. That's what Timothy became, right? Timothy walked behind for a while, and then all of a sudden he became a leader in his church. He became the leader. He became the man who took over that whole section of Ephesus. Okay? The point is that who are you? God didn't call anybody to just be. He called us for a purpose. He called us for a reason. This morning, as we get ready to close, I have contractual obligations to be semi-done by 12:30. It is now 12:30. And I'm semi-done. I'm not done yet, Marcus. Were you not listening? Nobody does that to Pastor. Seriously, man. Nobody does that to Pastor. Seriously. Pastor should be like, I'm about ready to wrap up. Marcus doesn't jump. I don't read sign language. Yo, it's your fault? Oh, it's cool. I forgive you. The one thing I wanted to go over last but not least, if you go down to verse 20, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Thank you, Lord. I want us all to see this, because I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. And we stop there a lot of times. We've been redeemed. We've been forgiven. But if you notice, the purpose of that is what follows. This is my whole point. Okay? Not yet. Christ lives in me. I am now a new creation. I've died and I'm redeemed. And so many times when we teach even the kids this verse, we stop there. We stop there. But the fact is there's so much more to this verse that we lose because we stop there because we've been happy that we've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. We're happy about that part and we're content with that part. But the Bible says that we shouldn't be content with any part of the scripture. We should be content with the whole scripture. The whole scripture is this right here. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. What does that mean? That means I trust him for my purpose. I am no longer my own person. I'm not just a forgiven person, but I'm a forgiven person with a purpose. Do you understand that? I understand that I've been crucified with Christ. I understand that I've died in the flesh. I know that now I am a spiritual creature. But the fact is that this spiritual creature has a purpose. This life that I live in the flesh, I now live it by flesh, in my flesh, but by faith. Trusting the Lord to place me and to put me where I need to be. Trusting the Lord to make sure that I am doing what I'm called to do. Don't just occupy. Don't just be one of the people sitting around the table listening to how awesome ministry is from Peter. Really? You got that, Ryan? Don't just sit there listening to the stories of ministry. Don't just sit there listening to how awesome ministry is. Stand up. Move. Live by faith. Don't be afraid to make a mistake. One thing I can almost be assured of is I think Paul knew that not everybody liked him. Paul knew that he was slightly abrasive. Paul knew that not everybody had a poster of him on their wall. But Paul didn't care. I'm a different creature. I care a little bit. Peter knew that he's made mistakes. Peter knew that there were some things in his makeup that lent to those mistakes. But Peter also knew that he could be effective for Christ. And that didn't stop him from trying. Paul knew everybody didn't like him. Peter wanted everybody to like him. But the fact is neither one of them ever quit standing up for Christ. Neither one of them ever quit making sure that everyone around them knew something about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the fact is that neither one of them ever quit until the point where they were killed. That is what it means to be effective. That's what it means to serve Christ. That's what it means that even though I'm going to live this life in the flesh, I'm going to live it by faith. Amen? All right. Marcus, now you can come forward. And you can stand. You know that caterpillar thing? Who are you?
Yeah.
That was the dumbest thing I ever did. I only did it because there was a bunch of chicks in the class. You know what I'm talking about. Okay, I was 17. I had priorities. Okay, pride wasn't one of them. But the fact of the matter is, I played a caterpillar. All right? Now, here's the lesson of the caterpillar. He turns into something. Okay, I would have been a short, fat little butterfly. I probably couldn't have got off the ground. But the fact is that he turned into something. The more that you live by faith, the more that you step out and you trust the Lord, you turn into something. And that, my friends, is the lesson of the caterpillar. Who are you? Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for this morning. God, you're so good to us, Lord. You're forgiving, you're loving. And Lord, there's times where we step out and we do the right thing, and there's times where we step out and we do the wrong thing. But Lord, I know that you reward us for our faith. I know that you reward us for the attempt. And God, not everything Peter did, not everything Paul did was perfect. Not everything they did was right. But God, they moved. They lived by faith. Father God, I pray that we would base our lives not on the rules of the law, which make your death in vain. I pray that we would make our lives based on faith. Faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross that was more than sufficient to pay my debt. God, I thank you right now. And I pray that we would do more as Christians than occupy. God, that we would stand up and move as an army. Changed into the creatures and the creations that you have called us. God, this morning I pray that you would bless our pastor and Jolene as they're hanging out with J.D. Connor. God, we just praise you for that, and we praise you for the blessing that you've put in their lives, Lord God. And I pray that you would allow them to enjoy it to the fullest, Lord Jesus. We just thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.